Alright, we're calling this meeting to order at 7:01. Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda?
We can, rather than putting it the librarian's report, just so that we have it as a discussion, we can put the web OPAC update as a...
Under new business?
Not really, just more... Well, yeah, sure, it doesn't matter, really. It's just a resolve issue.
Okay.
So we don't have to go hunting for it later.
Great. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Next up is the approval of the January minutes. Thank you, Becca, for chairing this meeting. Feels like a long time ago already. Do we have a motion to approve the January 8 minutes as written?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Becca. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, Sue. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. I do not have anything additional for the board chair report.
I don't have a treasurer's report. Ben didn't send anything, which is not unusual for February because he's busy getting ready for town meeting.
Okay. And I wondered, he did send me an update like at 5:30. I wondered if he thought maybe January was your last.
I just sent him my resignation letter with the other day.
So. That's probably so why that's he didn't send it to you, but... Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So we can look at February and March. We can look at both the March meeting.
Nothing major has gone through, but...
Usually when he does send something this month, there's very little on it anyway.
Yeah. And we've gotten the summer reading grant. That's up in the plus column. And just paid the Caledonian record, so that would be a big-ish item, but that's annual. And we've sold almost all the history books, so our line item for adult books, we only have 3 left. So our line item for adult books is a little back to. And then the only wonky thing is going to be the shelving. It'll look funny.
Yeah.
Because the shelving came out of, was not budgeted in the budget. It was just part of the Edward Jones.
Yeah. Ben Heisold about doing what we did before of taking out of maintenance, so it will look like we've overspent in maintenance, but that money is coming from Edward Jones. So. Okay.
You may have all seen the new sitting space.
No.
No?
So we go look.
Oh, yes, you need to go look.
We should definitely go look.
Please browse for a moment. You can see the look at the nonfiction.
Right there. I'm confused.
I mean, Linda also doesn't see the beanbag, so.
We should get her eyes checked. I feel like she shouldn't be on.
She has a lot on her mind.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's gotten mostly very positive reviews. It's a couple people. Nice.
People are never going to go home. They're going to sit in those couches and talk to you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
It's probably better than your back being talked at, which is kind of before.
Here's one thing that's great. Actually, Ben was here for this. During the Saturday, during the seed thing, there were like three people sitting there. And here's the best thing about it. Normally, it's like a gridlock because it's everyone lined up around my desk. And that old shelf was like keeping them bottlenecked in. And so people would walk in the door and be like, and almost want to walk out because they had no idea where to go.
Right.
The best thing is it absolutely opens up that space and it opens up community conversation, which is absolutely to me.
And it looks like a living room.
And it looks like a living room in our mission statement, which is exactly what I was hoping for. So, but one of the greatest things is that when the people are just sitting in that chair and everyone's standing around it, this seems so weird, but it is absolutely, it's like my computer's here. So I feel like they're all talking to me, but they're often talking to each other. Like, so I feel pretty, like it feels a little rude to be like, and I'm not paying attention, I'm going to go to my computer. But when everyone's in that space, they often are talking to each other, and I'm almost like an accessory because I'm a little back by my desk. So actually I can, when they're talking amongst themselves, I actually can get work done. Ira was sitting there Tuesday and Big Bobby came in, and he takes a lot of attention. And he was, it was so nice because he and Ira could talk, and I was on my, it didn't feel rude. I don't know why. I think it's because they're over there. And I'm always listening, but, or somebody would ask me something and come in and I could have a separate conversation and they were there rather than somebody asking something of me and it's kind of everyone's business. Anyway, that it was nice. Did you find that?
Yeah, it did, especially because it's a kind of a traffic area.
Right.
The space before there was chairs, but you were almost kind of standing in a hallway.
Right, yeah.
So it felt like you were in high school trying to get to your locker.
Exactly. Everybody's going to run the gamut.
So it is more of a dedicated space. I guess the one question I would have is, I don't believe there's any sort of table space.
There's not a table there now. Yeah. And actually the electricians come in, these are all staged processes. But the electricians come in to upgrade quite a few things, especially in this room for the Smithsonian exhibit. Because I was like, I can't run three waffle irons at the same time without flipping my breaker. So, and this has like seven monitors. And so he's putting a couple plugs in the floor there too. So that's going to be, and then, so I've been trying to figure that out. In the old space, I had a one of those card catalogs as the coffee table kind of, but it was almost too low. It was like weird. People would like have to, you know, it just wasn't quite right. So I am going to try to, that's a work in progress. So,
I may have some.
Well, I just have to see what fits. Like it's also kind of a small area, but there's also the Carol in the back. So if people really need a desk space, there's a Carol. I'm just trying to figure out how the best use of space, like what that space is designated for, kind of. Is it going to be for conversation? Is it going to be, maybe do we need a little table there? Yeah, so always kind of a shifting work in progress. I moved this computer. You know, there's like these little pieces that move and then there's this big vision that eventually hopefully can be attained. Also, I can't move too many things without somebody losing their mind because people want to know what they want to know when they come in this building. It's funny. They want to see what they're expecting a little bit. I like, this computer never really gets used over here, but it's actually a good computer. So I've now moved this to the Carol over there, which actually does get used quite a bit. That's where the old black and white printer is now too, in the back. This whole space is gonna be reconfigured here. I have to get the hot water, or the old heater out of here, and it doesn't even work. Anyway, that space kind of drives me bonkers, so. Anyway, things are all shifting. There's some different stations of computers that are going to be a little more like personal back there versus the one right next to my desk, which isn't really working right. So anyway, that's the update on the sitting space. We started our project grant 2026 with our seed swap. It was small. We were competing with, well, who knows? I think it is a little early for Vermont to have a seed swap in January. I don't even think people have a lot of their seeds. So we're going to do another one, I think, in April. Also, there was a protest that day. And
overlapping time.
Overlapping time, and I think overlapping demographic. So, but we now have the trapping, sustainable and traditional trapping coming up with Soren and Adam. I did put together, this is just the, it's almost done. I'm waiting on one date. That's one of them. And I think I'm shifting potentially the Service Berry book group. But anyway, this is the pamphlet I made. Mm-hmm. This is a different picture now. I'm using one of Emma's native plants pictures. This has shifted a little bit, but this is the date of everything we're doing, including some summer reading things. We have Strawberry Patch Story Hour already set, Lambing Story Hour already set. Thank you, farmers. We have our Smithsonian exhibit introduction just here. I'm going to put a picture here of, I'm not quite sure, one of the panels, I think. This, I have our mission statement on the back. And then I think I might put a picture of that part of that room in there.
Just had a question.
Yeah.
On the centerpiece to that, mm-hmm. is it clear which days the events are held on?
You mean weekdays?
Yeah.
Like the days of the week?
Well, it just like, so it's March 11th. Yeah. I don't know what day that falls on.
Mm, would that be helpful?
Yeah. It may be.
Okay. I'll see if I can fit that in.
I know it's tough real estate, but.
Yeah, that's potentially. Yeah, I'll look and see if I can do that. So that's good. Then it was kind of good to do this. This is kind of what I was thinking of, you know, trying to get these dates on one page for our stuff for like the summer is pretty great. And it's also just pretty editable, so I can shift this, add things as some go by, move it up, add some more stuff. Like one of the things that we were thinking of for our summer reading kickoff is a stuffy sleepover. It is Unearth a Story.
Popular.
Is the theme. So I'm looking we did get our summer reading money already. That grant came through, which is great. So that's $350 this year. It won't fully pay anymore for a full program. That's just the reality of everything. So I did contact Vins just to say, because it seems like maybe like some sciencey thing would be cool, to say like, what are you doing that's actually a, you know, they usually like tag the theme and try to work with that. So, but either way, it's probably gonna be about $500. So we will have to eat $150, I imagine. With the summer reading grant, it like 3 years ago, it covered everything. Or you know, I did often do something, and I could potentially do this again with McIndoe's Academy, and we would both pay enough so that summer reading covered it. Things are just getting expensive, so we will see. But it will be something fun. I am gonna do the popular thing. Well, like the Lambing Story Hour, Summer Reading Story Hour, a kickoff, and something with Vins. And then do the regular summer reading programming to get kids with incentives, etc. I'm not gonna do a whole lot of extra summer reading programming this year because we won't have a space after July 30th, 1st or 29th. We won't have this room. And this project grant thing is going to be, and the Smithsonian coming is going to take quite a bit of time. So, but I really, kids come to the big thing anyway. I did talk to the fire station a little bit about possibly doing another one of those. That was so fun.
That was fun. That was
fun, yeah. And they did so much work for it, so it's whether they have the... But I really like partnering with a group like that in town.
Mm-hmm.
It gets them noticed. It gets kids there. It's something different. So I do think outreach and like things outside the library do tend to draw Harvey's Lake, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ira and I have a full day of Smithsonian training Tuesday, the 24th. We are going to Dartmouth with representatives from the other libraries, New Hampshire and Vermont. And it's a full day of really like brainstorming and kind of like pinpointing our ideas and really trying to move forward with some concrete timelines of things. So that's exciting. We are getting paid mileage through the humanities. So that's great. And I have a sub here because that's the day that usually Ira and I are both here. just a quick update on our really deadly rugs here. We have been using this group, this company called Cintas. It's a subscription through the town. They're terrible. I will say that on record. They have always brought our rugs like to the town garage, and I was having to pick them up, or the town garage guys were having to come here and unroll them, and we're paying this exorbitant amount. It's gotten even worse where, and unbeknownst to us, somehow we have signed a 5-year contract, although no one really remembers doing it. Mm-hmm. But they say we have. Mm-hmm. So I ordered L.L. Bean Waterhog rugs through Ben. It's not through the library. It's a municipal budget item. Because these are so expensive, it's ridiculous. The total for Waterhog rugs for this library, all the rug spaces that are covered by the Cintas rugs, was $600. And these are so ridiculous. And I vacuum these all the time anyway. They have not come since November. And they came so bumped up that Ira and I trip every day. Most people trip. Everyone here you've probably tripped on them. Yeah.
A lot.
So, and I caught someone the other day that was she's probably like late 80s. And so they came today to swap rugs out across the street, and Sam met them outside and was like, turn it around. We don't want them. Come take our rugs. And they wouldn't. He called the supervisor. They wouldn't take our rugs unless they were replacing them. I don't know why. Anyway, Sam has written a great letter to Cintas saying, you guys haven't even come since November. You're violating contract, and we're not paying, and we're,
So just a question. They'd asserted that there's a service contract. Did they
Claim it, but they haven't emailed us back about, like, showing us the concrete example. It's very weird. I know. Trust me. This is so bonkers.
Like, that's on them, right?
Absolutely. And this is, so Sam, of course, looks up the Better Business Bureau, and they're terrible. Like, Cintas is like, everyone's like, don't use them. The problem is we use them for our uniforms down in the garage, and we have just ordered all these new uniforms, so the whole thing, of course. However, what I said to Ben was, I'm just rolling these ones up and throwing them in a closet, and we can fight this out, but I'm not using these anymore. I have to have something on the floor because people come in their cleats, and that's as slippery as not having rugs. I mean, as having these rugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little... So finally, yesterday, I was like, I either have to go to Job Lot and just buy crappy rugs for now, or we have to order these Waterhog rugs and just eat it, and I'm rolling these up. I can't use these.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a safety issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, I trip on them all the time. I tripped on them today when I was on the phone. So anyway, they are coming, though. They're pretty boxwood design. I'm trying to remember. I think maybe we got maroon. I'm not exactly. Maybe green, dark green. I can't remember at this point. Anyway, they're going to be nice. They're going to be ours. And they will hold water, sand, whatever. So that's the update on that. don't worry. I just hope they come soon before somebody bites it. But anyway, I think that's it for me. Unless anyone has any questions.
Exciting things coming up. And going.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. And you were thinking to have the pamphlets at town meeting.
Yeah, I'll have that all done for town meeting. I've talked to Ben about having a table. Ben Heisold.
There's another Ben. So many Bens.
I know.
Multiple Bens. They multiply.
Yep. And then town meeting, I guess you guys should just discuss that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the officers thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will be in the Southern Hemisphere for town meeting.
Okay.
So fancy.
So yeah. So you'll just have to.
Sally forth without you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See if you can.
All right.
We'll do our best. But no promises, Linda.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Okay. Thanks, Dylan. Mm-hmm. At the library, Linda.
Yeah. So we have Rebecca Boardman doing a paper class on March 31st. She has promised me a flyer.
I was going to say,
She's going to, and that will, let's see, what day of the week is it? I think it might be a Tuesday. Because I didn't want to.
It is, because chair yoga started, and that's on a Monday.
Yeah. I don't want to compete for parking on Thursdays.
Oh.
Yeah, so. She's going to give me a flyer on March 8th.
What's she calling it? Just paper arts or paper cards or?
She doesn't know what she wants to do yet. So it's, how about a
crafts?
I'll paper, just say paper arts. Or
yeah. Paper art craft class.
Okay. Okay.
And Sherry will do one April 21st.
Okay.
And, she expecting,
Felting.
Yes, it'll be felting, and and the humanities speakers. I don't know if anybody saw. They came out with their Vermont Humanities came out with their speakers bureau for 2026, and they have a lot of new speakers. So they have so many good ones. But I was thinking maybe for the fall after when's the Smithsonian? Like when are we done with
September 9th.
Yeah, so I was thinking like October and then wreath making for December.
Having one of them come in person?
Yeah, like we did for the Connecticut River Talk.
Yeah.
But wow, there's a lot on the political climate right now, like on resistance and things like that. But I don't know how to... But there's also a lot on the history of Vermont. In the history of the rivers in Vermont.
I think people love coming to history stuff.
Yeah.
Also, we could combine efforts with maybe Reigate and Barnett historical sites if we did that.
And Jan already said she wanted to do a collaborative.
So that would be great. I think that draws more people, it gets more, and then we can split the cost also, and then we split them.
Good.
I mean, that would be my thought.
Yeah, so I'll try.
My project grant ends... October 11th is like the final wrap up, and
October 11th, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, so no events before because we're going to try and get people to come to those.
Right. All I'm saying is, September 9th, this will be back to normal. That's totally fine.
Okay.
That's the project grant is the resilience grant. That's separate than Smithsonian. So, but that one. No, I'm not saying don't have it, especially if you're not having it here. I'm just saying we should check with, if you want to have something in October. Mm-hmm. I don't think people go out in November.
Okay, October,
but,
and then the wreath.
And then the wreath, for that. They always come out for that.
But and that's all we need.
I think October would be great, especially if it's not held here. And then early October, I'm kind of done with project grants anyway.
Maybe down the...
Yeah, meeting house is nice. So
Lisa
would love it. Did the school for the history one.
Yeah, but that was the disaster. That was where you had to go home and get your ATM.
I'll do it again.
Remember, You have one again. Now.
And the day before, I'm like, Dylan, I don't know about this. This seems like something's going to go wrong.
I was like, Linda, it'll be fine. It's not on you.
Yeah, she's like, exactly. She speaks all over. She'll have everything she needs.
Yeah. Remember, it was like 50 degrees. And it was cable. So cold in that gym. Everyone was like getting their jackets. Like, what is happening? But I think the Meeting House is a great place, and they'll have the heat on for that there. And it's we can't have a Smithsonian thing there, right? It's not accessible.
Oh,
you know where we could have it?
At the school.
Mac and Dues. No, they have the new church. They're open. That's where I.
Oh, that might what be about good. There's plenty of parking in the back.
Brook Hill and also at Mac and Dews. People walked across all summer.
Plenty in the back. They'd line up for the concerts. Mm-hmm. It's packed back there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a brand new kitchen. That's where I think I'm having Vermont Ferments come to there. Mm-hmm. I already talked to Wally.
Yeah, it might be good to have something for history there, because that's sort of a little
It draws people. We could come by. We could also split the cost with them.
That'd be nice.
Unless it's going to draw a lot of people. I don't know what their capacity is, but they've opened up the space. It's not pews.
Yeah, it's chairs.
Just chairs.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, great thought.
And it is accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And their bathroom's accessible now.
Okay. Amazing.
That's the only thing required from Humanities Council.
Well, there's... Okay, great. That's it. I will be leaving next weekend.
Okay.
And I'll be back March 10th.
Have fun!
I know.
That's a long time.
It'll be
ride.
Summer there, so...
That's great.
I'll be thinking of everybody freezing.
His daughter lives in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That is a long flight.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a long flight. I've been there several times. We lived there for two years. Two separate times. So, have friends there, so I'm going to see some old friends and family. Great. All sides of the family.
That's great.
Yeah, so good.
Thanks, Linda.
I might be a little jet lagged that Thursday.
Okay.
But understandably.
We'll let you off the hook.
Okay, thank you.
Great. We have a couple of things to look at from our monthly calendar. So we kind of have divided up the policies per year, Ben, and kind of review a few per month. So we have a couple to look at tonight. And it's also the month to just take a look and make sure we all know where to find the bylaws.
I had made a comment to give an email. The accessibility via the website, hyperlink might be a suggestion.
I thought about that because for a while I wasn't sending the links to Ben in the PDFs, and then I did, and then I realized those are just open to the board. But it is all public, ultimately. But yeah, I actually thought of that the other day.
I think the policy is accessible via the town website.
It is, but probably the link says no. Like, if you try to open it.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I think I just had to leave the page in order to find some of the things.
I thought I was actually thinking about that the other day. Because these are housed in our folder, like our drive folder. I do not have any edits or thoughts around the bylaws. I don't know if anyone else does. We made that update really to reflect what we actually do a couple of years ago, that the terms are 5 years. So I think they should be accurate. Does anyone else have any thoughts or questions about the bylaws? And then a couple of policies. One that comes up in February is to look at our mission statement. So we did a bunch of work on this a couple of years ago as a board. Kind of simplified it, looked at a ton of other libraries' examples of mission statements, and tried to come up with something that was specific to being a library, but also kind of encompasses all the other things that we do as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's so important about a mission statement is, like, it's really kind of a directive for me. You know, I think that's part of the reason I really, like, felt like it was very important to make it feel like a living room. Like, if that's going to be in our mission statement, to me it felt like it should be reflective of that. And it didn't feel like that when it was in the other way. So that's kind of what, partly what drove the change. And I think that is, like, I was talking to a different librarian. There's a few of us in the Caledonia County area that talk outside of these meetings. And it's funny, because everyone has a little bit of a different idea of their role in the library. And, like, mine, Ira and I both feel very strongly that the idea that somebody can come in and feel like they're in someone's living room and they have someone there that they can talk to, like, that is very much utilized in this community. And that is one, I feel very strongly that that is one of our roles, is to be there once people know we're here. And when there's nothing, no one else, we're here. And it is absolutely a place people come and feel like that. So I have another friend. She's an amazing librarian. She absolutely does not feel that way. She moved the chair away from her desk and does not. Like, she's like, if someone wants to talk to me, we can go somewhere else in the library and have a, like, one-on-one. That's how I do it. And that's if that's what her community wants, and that's what she, that's great. But Ira and I, we talked about this the other day when that was kind of finalized, that, or, you know, when it's in the, was in configuration it is in currently, I said, this is how I feel. Do you feel that way too? And he said, absolutely. I really feel like that is something we definitely both kind of prioritize. And we definitely have people come in here and just sit because they need to be with someone else doing something, or they need someone to talk to, or they need, you know, a space to just
be for a minute. Especially in the winter.
Especially in the winter, especially right now. I do think that really does speak to it. It's a follow through on our mission statement that feels good to me.
Good.
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for supporting it financially. Mm-hmm. I know that was a big chunk of our investment, so.
Yeah, it's good. Any other thoughts on the mission statement?
It needs an Oxford comma.
I was looking really at that earlier, actually.
Becca.
No, it does.
Cannot be a library and not have the Oxford comma in our mission statement. Yeah. It's not acceptable.
Okay.
I'm not sure if punctuation requires a vote.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Can we just, like,
I don't think it changes the meaning.
No. No, it does. Well, not in this context, yeah, but it could change the meaning, which is why we need
true.
It. It's important.
Do you want to vote on it, Becca?
I feel like just to cover our bases, maybe we should.
Okay, we can vote on it.
What? You're going to vote on?
Oh, yeah. We're just going to cover all the bases. Nobody's coming into this library board meeting to challenge us on an Oxford comma.
Okay.
All right, I make a motion to add an Oxford comma to the mission statement.
Where is that?
After literacy.
I assume after literacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, after literacy in the mission statement.
Both are acceptable.
Yes, they are.
You made the motion, so I second.
Great, thanks, Linda.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
It's not a matter of clarity, though. Right.
Pose no. Okay.
I got fights carries. To fight. It's not one of them. I'm just not gonna.
Not your help,
hey man. What if someone comes in the community about that Oxford comma? Then we all have a real conundrum.
I welcome them.
Could get interesting.
Perfect.
Okay, and then under confidentiality, choice, and consent, and user access, the only note that I had, unless people have other things, is I want to just check, because it in our policies it notes Vermont statute number 129. I don't think that's the right statute.
That is not the right statute.
So I'm gonna check that.
I think another comment I had shared is if there's a dynamic link to kind of push
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we could just link to the actual
statue.
Yeah. So I didn't have time to check it before this, like what the actual right one is, but I will check on that.
And do you know?
Then I might know. Yeah, then I know.
Let me double check in the email that I sent to Dylan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're really broken up about it.
No, I just feel bad. I didn't. I don't know.
My wife is the same way.
I think there will be a couple of those that we've updated a few of those as we've gone through these of like linking to the actual statute. I looked at them a little bit earlier, but I'm not sure.
Are you a lawyer? No.
No. No.
You just happen to know the statute.
No, I'm just.
Ben's a fact hound. That's what I think.
Okay.
From what I can tell.
Well, I had read it, and I think when something is referenced, you say, "Oh, let me."
Yeah.
Let me.
Let me look it up and see.
So it may be statute 172.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then maybe the number 129 came from some other. It's like, but I think 172 is probably the correct. That's what I was looking at too. I just wanted to be sure that that's right. But
that's the statute that says you can
yeah.
have public data, but not private data.
Yeah.
Or if it's controlled, it can't be distributed.
So I think we could update that tonight if people feel comfortable about that. Do people want to look at it? Look at the statute before we make that change? Or...
Well, I'm going to trust that the state of Vermont has thoroughly gone over it and that we can adopt it.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to make a motion.
Yes, we do. So 172 should be the correct number instead of 129.
I make a motion. That we accept it.
Check.
172.
Yeah.
That we're changing the statute so number to 172.
Yeah.
Rather than 129, which is the correct number.
I second.
Thank you, Becca. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Okay, so we can update that. Does anyone have any other notes on these?
Jackie, for your personal notes. I think this is the one, right?
Yeah. Yep, I think so, too. That's what I had pulled up.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thank you. And then under new business, we were going to look at Web OPAC.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to, I just want this, I think it should be in our minutes. So Ben noticed and Jackie noticed then that, when you'd search, you'd get into the, do you guys remember what web OPAC is, the website linked in our services page where you can look up supposedly and see your circulation, you know, what you've checked out, what you've, you can reserve a book, you can check and see if we have a title, etc. It is a somewhat expensive service. And so Ben noticed that there were like a lot of the titles weren't coming up, and then like circulation history, his and Jackie's and mine were all wrong. There was no zero circulation history for even my stuff. I do have to check that aspect tonight, but...
Yeah, like some of it was right, but other parts...
Mine had one book that I checked out ever. And I'm like, that's definitely wrong. So I talked finally to ResourceMate today. I guess what happened, and I ended up not connecting with this guy for various reasons till noon today when I normally close. And then the update took a while. Anyway, so I haven't totally gone deep dive into the website, but he claimed that somehow there was a gap in our service, so like our payment for Web OPAC was like a month late or something. Now I looked and it looks like we're on automatic, so I'm not sure what happened. I don't think it was on our end.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk to billing on either tomorrow or Monday and make sure that that's automatic and that's not gonna happen again. If it doesn't happen, if there's no disconnect in our billing, apparently this doesn't happen. But what happened was, it like not really reset, but the updates stop for some reason. Now that just seems like, it doesn't seem like that should happen. But so it updated. I kept looking at the dates of books and that were in there, and I finally got to like October of 25, and then it stops. And that's exactly when our billing cycle would have occurred, and then we ended up paying in November. So according to them, that was the problem. Now I said, well, but my circulation history isn't in there from like ever. It's like one book. And so he claims this is going to fix it. And he's like, if it doesn't fix it, email me at support, whatever. And then I did have him walk me through how to change the panel on the bottom of, I don't know if you guys have looked at Web OPAC, but at the bottom it says like most checked out titles. And I had him help me change it to newest titles, because I thought that's going to be most... I said, this is all kids' books. Like, no kids are looking at Web OPAC. It's not helpful.
It's all you.
It's all, right? Yeah, it's only five-year-olds that are like, awesome, fancy Nancy. Anyway, so we changed it to newest titles. There is also a feature, which he sent me an email on how to do it. I just haven't done it yet, but we can hit featured titles. So like for Black History Month, I go into Resource Mate and I hit featured, which actually I really like. That's, I think, cool, that's going to be really helpful. on top of all these other things, I am going to be I'm going to try to be a little more proactive with Web OPEC, because I do think it's one of those things that we really should probably investigate if people are using, investigate if it's useful. Because as Ben said this morning, if it's not useful as a search engine or a search, you know, search aspect of like what's in the library, what is it for? Nothing. You're just burning money. So, and it is true. Anyhow. I think it's one of those things where if it runs out in November, I now have it on all my calendars to double check that it's not going to, like, there's not going to be a gap in service. But I do think it is kind of worth screwing around with, and I think Ben's going to be a good one to do that because he seems pretty invested. but to find out if it really is, like, relevant and helpful. If it's not, we're wasting money, and maybe there's a different way to go. So
can I offer something?
Yeah.
And this is in my day job, I work in software development. Mm-hmm. So there's no user requirements guide that says that this is what a service must do, right? For example, when I search a book, it'll come up to see what the status is, if it's available, if it can be requested, if there's a hold status, or they have a reading list. That doesn't exist today in terms of what, if you were shopping for a new service, what would the requirements that you would go to say, all right, what are you offering? Does this meet my needs? I would assume that the decision was kind of made ad hoc to say, well, this is what we have available to the budget, and we'll try it out for a year or two, and then...
So it's available to us as Resource Mate, because we subscribed to Resource Mate, and we've barcoded. We went with Resource Mate, like, in 2010 or something before I was on working here. And so that's when the decision was made to like go through and, or maybe it was a little later. I can't remember, but that's what did fit the budget. You're correct. And then, so Resource, the Web OPAC is the offering through Resource Mate if you want to have that service. That's what they offer.
And the switching cost would involve...
Switching to what, Koha or something?
The switching cost, independent of not making an assumed decision, would be...
Barcode, scanner.
Scanner.
And then software...
Training.
Training, and I assume backup. Right now we pay for an off-site storage backup. We pay for nightly backup.
Through like cloud. AWS or...
Yeah, it's cloud backup.
Okay.
And then through that, we've done this in stages. Through that, that's how we got to be a part of the Clover, the interlibrary loans. Like, we weren't sending out forever. Mm-hmm. We were just borrowing because we had not uploaded we couldn't upload until we were finished.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's now all a part of the Department of Libraries, our thing. But yes, ResourceMate was based, it was a monetary decision for sure. It is the cheapest of the...
Yeah. But my suggestion is, if there's a service, to say this is what we'd be looking for a service, assuming there wasn't a past history.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it needs to do, kind of the base functionality, and then, you know, kind of the lighter features of, like, oh, it would be cool if it would recommend me a new title through some kind of AI algorithm based on my previous...
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff would be nice to have. But I think a document, you know, when you're coming up for renewals, the board can make a decision to say, well, this is what the service or product needs to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Is it meeting this need, yes or no?
And are people using it? Like, that's one of the things that I think is interesting. And I can push it more on our website and social media and stuff. But, not a lot of people have asked me for their number. You know, it's funny.
But my point is... Yeah, it would make sense if the product is not meeting the requirements of the users. They're not going to use it because either it's not meeting the need or they're not aware of it.
I do think one of the things I've been thinking about when Ben brought this up, and I was like, oh, I don't know, do people even use it? I will say I think Ben is representing, if we want someone... If we want more people your age and your age and your age and your age to come in here...
Right now,
we have people your age. That's what I'm saying.
I'm teasing you.
That's the bread and butter right now is baby boomers. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe that's why, because they are willing to just come in here old school library style, walk around. They know I'm going to have a book they want, but they don't necessarily care what it is. Not care what it is, but they're willing. It's the serendipity of the library, and that's okay with them. And that's like, I'll go in and see what they have, and I'll check a book out, and I know they'll have something good.
Yeah.
I think maybe it is worth thinking about the shift in this kind of service that maybe more people in their 20s and 30s are going to use the library if they know what they're going to come in and get, because they have jobs and kids and whatever, and they're busy, and they're not going to be like, I'm going to go browse because maybe I just have crap. I don't know. But I do think it's interesting to think about. So I will say, if you guys will screw around with it a little bit, and I think I did send you all your numbers at one point, but I have them all on my phone if you want them.
and to the fundraising part, too, just online donations, you know, giving online.
That's not our age. That's a Ben Heisel thing.
Yeah. I asked Ben, and he looked like he wanted to go hide in a dark closet.
I did just get a credit card, a little while ago. But
yeah.
It's something a lot of libraries are trying to figure out right now.
Because
we do need online giving.
That's what the young people do. They give online. They set it up monthly, automatic. Don't think about it. Or even
Venmo. And I will say, like, even St. Jay Academy, when they send out it's giving day, they'll send me a text, and I'm like, sweet, Venmo. Yeah. Like, if it's sitting in an envelope on my... I'm not doing... it takes me months.
They mail you, yeah. The level of friction.
Yes.
Where if I can swipe you know, it's $5.
I'm like, so literally at midnight in bed, and I'm like, ah, sure.
But it is. And, but that's yeah. how, no, I that's do. The lifestyle.
That is, that's a little trickier because we are under the banner of the town. So that we would have to figure out how to, whether we set up some sort of other account. And we can absolutely look on that. But I do think, if you guys wouldn't mind screwing around with WebOPAC, and okay. I can, if you go to our services page on our website, and it is mobile friendly as well as on desktop or laptop, and you click, it says online catalog is our first service, and you click the link, it'll bring you to the WebOPAC website. And then it'll ask you for your username and then your PIN. And I'll, after the meeting, I'll tell you guys what your PINs are. But your user, anyone's username, is their two names combined. That's why I was joking with Ben saying just write it all three ways, because he's like, how do you have it in your computer? Because I don't know how that's going to look. Yeah. So mine is just like DYLANF40. Mm-hmm. Just no capitals, whatever. It's just that straight across. So. And then I'll tell you what your pins are after. So
I do should think be we... on the homepage if this is something that we're gonna push.
It should, but be services makes sense because that's
it should also service. Be there. But if we're trying to push people to use it, it should be like online catalog search, like right on the homepage. Because if I'm not on the board and we're not having this discussion, I am not going searching for that.
Or like at the very top on every page.
Yeah, like a banner, something to make it less difficult to navigate mm-hmm. to. If it's something that we want to push to it, really test, like, is this a useful service? Okay.
Everyone want me to put it all over the website?
Well, playing the devil's advocate, right? It could just be that I was motivated to reach out to this because, you know, I live 4 miles that way. Mm-hmm. And so the friction of me going to the library, usually on the weekends mm-hmm. when it's light out and mm-hmm. I have the time to do so, I would spend more time in the library if I knew a book was waiting for me. And so what I was trying to accomplish is I couldn't log in, right? And so we worked through that. And then when I was able to log in, I didn't feel confident that I was doing it right when I was searching. So, and there's really not any kind of feedback within the system of saying you're doing it wrong and here's how to do it right. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit discouraging from there. Mm-hmm. I would question, is this worth inducing a demand? Or yeah. is it just one person that has this unmet need? Because there could be an overcorrection.
Or maybe we wait until we know that the problems with, like, circulation are fixed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll definitely do that before I do anything. But I think for now what would be helpful is if you guys, as my test subjects of different with all different interests, mm-hmm. That would be helpful to me for you guys to mess around and, like, Ben gave me feedback, to give me feedback. Because I can contact this guy, his name is Harsh, he's, like, really helpful. He's, like, totally knows everything about this. I think he'd probably help develop this thing. But, mm-hmm. so for him, it's, like, a little bit, like, he's great at walking me through it when I get him on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he's the one I've dealt with all of this. He's always, he can, like... remote access my computer and just, you know, mm-hmm. he did all the syncing today for me because he was like, do you want me just to tell you how to do it or email it? And I was like, no, can you just do it? I don't have time to be sitting here, man. And I do it like, I don't want to do this again. So like, if I keep paying, supposedly I won't have to do this again. I don't need to know this. I just need you to do it. I'll figure everything else out. Mm-hmm. But I think like almost having like you on the phone with me sometime when I'm on with him or just like, you know, it would be helpful because if you guys don't give me feedback or if people don't give me feedback, I don't really know the questions to ask, you know, like the other people are needing to know.
Yeah.
So,
and I think if we were going to look at a different option, it'd be helpful to have more information about what's not
well, especially because it's going to be an investment
and
a time investment to rebarcode this library. I will tell you, this took me like 2 years. So, unless we did some sort of used the same barcodes and translate it to some other, I don't know. But I that would be not my That's probably Ben's area of expertise, not mine. But anyway, just if you guys mess around with that, that'd be helpful. If you can get, like, I don't know, someone else you know to mess around with it that is interested in books and what we have, that would be helpful. Like David would be great, or, you know.
I know we spent a lot of time. Can I share an anecdote?
Yeah.
So for Winter Carnival, right, it was in Peacham, right, mm-hmm. and the library was open. So as a thought experiment, I wanted to say, well, I've been hearing a lot of the book Heated Rivalry. I think it's like
a oh, yeah. or something. I'm on the fifth book and the sixth book in the series.
So as a thought experiment, I'm not really interested in reading that right now. I go in and I say, well, let me search Heated Rivalry. And within a different system, and I understand there's budget considerations. We have OPAC as a system that is existing today and we should make it work. I was able to see who the author was. Like, there was the picture on it, how many books were in circulation, if it was available, or I can kind of do a hold from there. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot. That was kind of the baseline experience I was expecting of, like, oh, yes, or even if I just search rivalry, it's like, oh, okay, you probably mean the popular book based on other search terms. And so I felt confident that I could accomplish what I was looking for mm-hmm. in doing that. And I think I was searching for James Baldwin, I think, just to test out mm-hmm. in the Barnett Library system. And I was like, I think I was like, well, if you search the, it'll come up with 3,600 references. But I wasn't able to kind of search by author or anything like that. But it sounds mm-hmm. like the issues.
You should have been able to search by title and author, definitely. But so.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing, because you can change where keyword is.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do that?
I don't think I was successful.
So, okay. Well, anyway, we can see if it's fixed and in its own way. It's, you know, it's not going to be Koha. That's what Peacham has.
Yeah.
That's our rival.
But, well, not really. I mean, I think that...
they're the Eagleton to our pony.
So, anyway. But it's good to... So, yeah. So now it shows it.
Well, yeah, so maybe it's...
But it could be... but you're right, it doesn't show if it's out. Yeah. That's one thing. Although I think both of those are in, so maybe it does. Anyway, mm-hmm. I just haven't screwed around with this enough. And it is true, though. If it is just so basic that it's not helpful,
mm-hmm.
we got to think of something else. Because it is money we're spending. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See if you guys can mess around with it. See if it's helpful at all. See if it has something that you... I did today put a reserve on a book just to see if I could do it, and it did email me.
Okay.
And I did get that. Okay. So, anyway, thank you.
Is there a way of seeing remote versus in-library of people putting in reserves to see how many people are utilizing an offsite?
Interesting.
Because if you're checking it out...
My reserve is different. Like, if they ask me to reserve it?
Well, I'm just saying, if I grab a book off the shelf, then I'm physically in the library. In my customer journey is the serendipitous. I go and, oh, that's an interesting title. I think mm-hmm. I'd like to read that. And I bring it out to the circulation desk and it gets checked out. That's basically an in-person checkout. Mm-hmm. The other method of that is if I look it up online... No interaction directly yes. with the library.
I can see that algorithm.
You can see that.
Yes.
But if it's, is it 95.5%, right? Because that could be useful.
I have not screwed around. I have to look. But that is one of the reasons we started doing this, because I felt like if people, I can see what people search up, even if it's not in the library. Mm. So that I thought would be helpful for me for purchasing. Like, maybe people aren't coming in because I don't have, that everyone wants memoirs or everyone wants nonfiction about World War II, which is absolutely what people do want. And then I can see that, what they've searched up and what I don't have, so maybe my purchasing changes. That's part mm-hmm. of the reason we went with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Because I think that is helpful. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right, why does this book say Sherry's Pick in notes on OPAC?
Because you can see our notes.
Your notes.
So we have a tab that says notes. So I can say, like, Meta Black tag. History Month, or, like, I tag it, like, mm-hmm. if I, so that when I go into search, when I'm like, oh, God, I got to do a Black History Month this way,
yeah,
all the books come up that I have for Black History Month. So a note, Sherry would have put that. See, this is before I got there. So Sherry would have put the note saying Sherry's pick.
That's fun. Because what I was wondering. I was like, is this a holdover from like a while?
Well, that, yeah, these are this. Yes, absolutely. The system is old, but I think something like that probably would have been. Sherry used to do a what we talked about board picks.
Yeah.
So they'd have like. Oh, yeah. You know, the board was Sherry Shank back then. Let's see. Sherry Shank, Sue Jensen. That's when I got hired. It was this whole group of... But they did things like picks. Yeah. So that's probably what the note indicates. But yes, you'll be able to see the notes that I've written. Usually it's things like, you know, Pride Month or whatever. So that it's an indicator so that I can find books easier or if people come in. So, or if I say to Ira, can you do a display like he did these ones?
Yeah.
It's easier. It's quicker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody has to look up 5 books.
Man,
okay.
It might be helpful if they're the same books.
Slash get logged into your account.
Yeah.
You know, if you had like, you know, what are the top 10 New York Times bestsellers, like, and then do it as sort of a quiz.
So have like a different experiences for looking up the set, but with the same factor.
Yeah. Huh. And then you can kind of know this is the expected answer. And are people able to kind of match that?
Well, and one thing that's helpful, and I haven't done it yet because Harsh said when I got off the phone with him, he said it'll take now 2 hours for it to like all the new books to show up on. So I haven't done it. I didn't do it right now, but like I was using like Spent and The Light Pirate because that The Light Pirate was in the system and I was like, that wasn't even that long ago. That's why I was trying to figure out what the timeline where it got screwed up. But anyway, yeah. So check out some of the books that, you know, we may or may not have and then screw around. That'd be great. It'd be helpful.
Okay. Under old and continuing business, we have the t-shirt fundraiser. Phil and I were talking about going to check with Steven about the print that Allison made. I think the next step is just finding out a cost for what that would be.
Mm-hmm. And having it done, maybe, Jeffy.
Yeah, I was thinking for the summer, it'd be nice to have. We've talked about Allison did a really cool lino cut print of the front of the library.
It's so good.
So that's Steven, the print shop in town.
Yeah. In St.
Jay. Yeah, to have t-shirts done. So we could do that as a fundraiser. So I think that's the next step is if we just find out a general cost. And you had some shirts maybe.
Yeah, we were going to ask him if he would use the upcycled shirts.
Maybe he'll do a mix.
Do you want me to ask him? Or is...
I know Steven pretty well.
You want to ask?
So I can see if he'll do something like that. Just because part of our resilience campaign using upcycled shirts.
And if it's...
Not all of them, but some of them.
Fabric that's... preferred,
yeah,
you know, for upcycle. I know if it's new, he knows probably exactly how
it's gonna come out.
Mm-hmm. Come out.
Yeah.
Does he need 100% cotton? Okay. Does he need cotton blend?
Yep, we can ask him.
You know, so then I can, because there, are, you know, then I can keep an eye. I'll collect the right ones.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be fun. And Jackie was saying, you know, the Smithsonian exhibit's gonna be here, and we're gonna have a lot of traffic this summer. So,
get your t-shirt.
Yeah, plus I have some interested student docents, so we could give them a t-shirt for docents.
Nice, yes. And so maybe I could even, once we find out what fabric, I could put that on Front Porch Forum, too, and collect it for that.
Cool.
As part of our...
You get a t-shirt if you try out OPAC.
Oh.
There you go.
And give us feedback.
Yep. So many things today.
Right. That would be, so he might not do it because his cost might be in the t-shirts, and that's okay.
Although Steven is,
you know,
a terrible businessman in the sense that he's always, like, giving me free stuff, and I'm like, no, you can't do that. But I think he does try to make stuff work. He's just, like, the nicest human.
Yeah.
I think it's worth
it. So we know he won't. He'll try and make it work.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we can't, we haven't advertised it at all.
With the resilience.
Yeah.
I could definitely make a rag roll.
Plus, his t-shirts are very soft.
They're really nice.
Oh.
T-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, he might have the Pima.
Pima cotton ones.
I don't know. They're like, he just picks the best fabric. His sweatshirts are my favorite. His t-shirts are my favorite.
Oh,
really
nice. We should go with that because mine are like Hanes and Gildan. And...
We can see. We'll get.
Yeah, we'll compare.
Yeah. We'll get some thoughts on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that by the next board meeting.
Great.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn at 8:06?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Becca. Do we have a second?
A second.
Thank you, Sue. Your last second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.